teaching on the core of what we believe. Our series has been firmly rooted. We've been talking about what we believe as a church and what we stand for and who we are. As I was preparing this morning, the Lord gave me a scripture that I just want to share with you. I believe it's for someone here today that it might encourage your heart. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." You know, as we go through life, there's circumstances and situations that present themselves, and maybe you don't know what to do all the time, or you know, the Bible encourages us to hold fast to the Word of God. You need to remind yourself that God is faithful in your life. We sang about that this morning, that God is faithful. He is faithful to you. You keep God's Word in your heart and in your mouth. And you know, you never go into a spiritual battle with your mouth closed. You always speak the Word. The words you speak matter. And the Spirit of God will speak to you. He will, you'll know in your heart what to do because God is in you. How many are glad that God is in you? The Bible says when you're born of God, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And we thank God that he helps us navigate through this course in life. He is a good God. God will never have you face things alone in life. He is always there for you. The Bible says in Hebrews that he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. So we need to think about those things and meditate on God's word and allow God to encourage your heart. Nothing's too big for God, is it? No. You need to remind yourself that nothing is too big. No situation, no circumstance you could face in this life is too big for God. He'll always pull you through. He'll always bring you through better and stronger than you were before. Amen? Let's just take a moment and pray before we look at the Word this morning. Father, we thank you for every person here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we've come with expectation. We've come to receive truth. And we thank you this morning that we will hear from heaven. Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts, that you'll encourage us, that you'll build us up and strengthen us, God. We thank you that we'll go out of here changed. We'll go out of here better than when we come in. And Father, we thank you that the Spirit of God will make adjustments in us. If we need to change our thinking, if we need to adjust the way we think and perceive things, Spirit of God, have your way in us. Help us to change. Help us to be transformed into your image. Father, we thank you today for your goodness. We thank you for your word, that it builds us up and strengthens us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible this morning, you can open up to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. We're going to be talking about the local church. You know, again, we've been on a series looking at major doctrines of the church. And sometimes when we think of the church, we just have a preconceived idea of what we think the church is. I think sometimes we have had experiences in a church or in a church setting, and it can leave us with a lot of questions regarding the church or even perhaps the character of God himself. And we want to take a look at the local church and what it's all about and what your role is in the church. You know, when we talk about the church, we're not talking about a particular church. We're not talking about a building. We're not talking about carpet and chairs. We're talking about people. We are the church. You are the church. And 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" The Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God. The Bible says that, you know, we shouldn't be so concerned. God isn't so concerned as much about the buildings and the places we meet as he is how we have church. And John, the 4th chapter, verse 24, it says, "God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." You know, the how we have church is more important than the where we have church. And don't think about church as a building. You are the church. I am the church. You are the church. And so when we think the church should be a certain thing, you have to look at your own life. Are you being a certain way? Are you being a certain thing? We're going to talk more about that. A local church is made up of a body of believers that are called to serve God in a specific area. You know, there's many wonderful churches that are meeting this morning or last night or over the weekend. You know, and people that love God, people that love Jesus. And we're all called to be a part of a local church. Hebrews tells us that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You are supposed to be a part of a local body of believers. It was God's idea for you to be a part of a church. And God wants you to be connected to a body of believers. And it's important for your life. And God will specifically tell you where to go. As we've said, you know, maybe you passed a couple other churches on your way here. Well, it's not that there's anything wrong with those other churches you might have passed, but this is where God is bringing you. This is where God has you. And God has a purpose for you being a part of the local church. You know, the local church is a place where you can grow spiritually, where God can speak to you, a place where you can find direction for your spiritual journey. There are many things that a local church is. A local church is a source of teaching and encouragement, a place where you can grow spiritually, a place where believers come together, where we can pray for one another, that we can support local causes. We can support national, international causes through projects and through missions. We've been talking about our missionaries over the past several months, where we're highlighting our missionaries of where we're connected, who we support. The local church is a place to worship God and to give thanks. It's a good thing to give thanks. It's a good thing to worship God together. You can worship God at home. You can give thanks at home. But you should still come together and worship with other believers. There's something that happens when we come together. To be around those of like precious faith. It's important. It's important that you don't isolate yourself and just do your own thing. You're supposed to be a part of something bigger. You're a part of the body of Christ. This church is a part of the body of Christ. We are not the end all. There are other churches that we join with and we continue to pursue the kingdom together. A local church is a place where you can learn to be a disciple. That's what we've been doing, learning to be a disciple and also learning to disciple others. We're not called just to get blessed ourselves. We're called to be a light. We're called to be salt. We're called to go out and reach people with the good news of the gospel. A local church is a place to serve the vision that God has given us together. A place where the power of God can show up and manifest themselves through the gifts of the Spirit. A place where you can bring unsaved people, where they can hear the gospel being preached. A place where you can be sent out from. Place where you can be filled up and charged up to go out. That's why we're here, to go out. We're not here to stay here. We're here to go out. We're here to go out and be a light, be loving, showing God's love to the world. Here at VCC, our mission is to reach the lost, to grow spiritually, and to love God and others. That's what we're called to do. This is who we are. This is not something we just talk about. It's who we are as people, what we're doing. When the Bible speaks of the church, the Bible says it's either referring to the local church or the church as a whole, the body of Christ. You know, are you so, as you are, so the church will be. As you are, so the church will be, because you are the church. It's much like parenting. You know, for those of you that have children, you understand that you can lecture your children and give them a list of rules of do's and don'ts, but they're going to do what you do. They're going to follow your example. You can talk until you're blue in the face, but they're watching you. And they will become like you. The same is true about the church. We can talk, but people will follow your example. And so if you want to see the church be on fire for God, what does that say about you? You have to be on fire for God. If you want to see the church be a soul-winning church, what does that say about you? You have to be a soul winner. Amen? Because you are the church. You are the church. And God moves through people. God moves through people. And so as you are, so will the church be. A congregation is responsible for the atmosphere of the church. If you come to church and you're grumpy and you're miserable and you're not, you know, you're just sitting here like a bump on a log, that's going to affect the atmosphere of the church. I'm not saying you have to be perfect. I'm not saying that it doesn't, you know, it matters how you are. If I'm a parent and I'm mean and nasty all the time and I'm grumpy, how is that going to affect my family? It's going to affect them greatly, is it not? The same is true about church. And it's the same idea. A church is a family. And if we don't want to be in that family, or we don't care about that family, or we don't want to do what we think that family should do, it's going to affect the overall flavor of the church. A congregation is responsible for the atmosphere of the church. The want to has to be there. You have to love God and love others. Well, you have to want to love God and love others. Can you tell when someone's doesn't want to do something? It's awfully quiet this morning. I'm just speaking truth. You know, if God's speaking to you this morning to make some adjustments, go ahead and do that. I think we all have to at time to time. You know, if you want people to be a part of the church, do you want to be a part of the church? If you want people to serve in the church, do you want to serve in the church? People will be like you are. You'll reproduce after your own kind. And you want to have people be on the Word and know the Word. Well, do you know the Word? Are you excited about the Word? Are you excited about seeing lost people saved? Are you excited to come and worship? Are you excited to give? Are you excited to see God move in the local church? Because as you are, so will the church be. So we all have to look at ourselves. Is there something that I need to adjust? Is there something that I need to do to add to the church? I believe that God wants to use the local church. I believe that God wants to use us as a group. And I believe that God wants to bring more in. But when the atmosphere of the church is in need of changing, it's the people we're talking about. What people perceive about a church or understand or even judge, it comes from the people. Are we known as a friendly church? Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Let's pretend that you brought someone that doesn't know Jesus this morning. And they're walking through the door. What kind of an experience is that person having? You know, church statistics tell us that people make up their mind in the first 3 minutes. They come through the door. Does someone say hello to them? Are people smiling? Or are people busy doing things? What does the atmosphere feel like? Do they feel welcome? Do they feel understood? Do they feel a part? Are they included or excluded? I think we do a good job in some of these areas. I'm not here to scold you this morning. I'm just here to get you to think. What am I projecting towards others? What kind of thoughts are people having about me? Because you are the church. You are the church. Are you welcoming? Are you generous in a sense of sharing who you are? Are we a place where new believers or unbelievers come, that they feel welcome, that they could be open to give their hearts to Jesus? You are the church, not the building, not the chairs. Paul speaks to believers clearly regarding who we are as the body of Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, it says that we are the body of Christ and members individually. Each one of us is a member of the body of Christ. That whole chapter, the Apostle Paul gives the illustration of the physical body being like the body of Christ. And he describes that, you know, the physical body, you know, are we all the hand? Or if we're not the hand, we say, I'm not of the body because I'm not the hand. We all have a part to play. And we're not all the same. God planned it that way. We don't need 12 hands. We need everybody doing their part. And when you do your part and function in your part, the body will be healthy. Not everyone's called to sing. Not everyone's called to preach. Not everyone's called to run sound. Not everyone's called to work with children ministry. But there are things you're called to do. And as you do them, and you fulfill your part and your role, the body will be healthy. And we can't always want to be like the other person. Well, I want to preach, or I want to sing, or I want to be important. I want to do this. I want to be seen by everybody. It's not about those things. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. But every part is necessary. Is there any part of your body that you're willing to give up? Parts that you don't think are necessary. You don't need your hand. You can chop that off. Don't need your little toe. No, you don't want to get rid of any part of your body. It's valuable. It's precious to you. You take care of it. You keep it. You want to have the whole thing. Well, this describes how the church should function. Each member, that even though they're different, they have a different function, they're a part of the body. And they don't function alone. They don't function alone. They function within the body. Each part is significant and valuable. What are the functions and benefits of the local church in your life? Well, there's many. Let's turn over to the book of Acts. I want to read there for a minute. And again, it's important for you to understand what the church is. It's important for you to understand how it functions. It's important for you to understand why we come together. The local church serves many purposes. Acts, the second chapter in verse 41, it says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among them all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." This passage of Scripture talks about some of the benefits of a local church. The local church is established for many reasons. First of all, to teach the Word of God, so that you would have understanding of what God is saying in His Word. It's a place of fellowship, a place of prayer, a place of communion together, a place of baptism. We're to be a testimony of God's power here in the church, to help each other. The early church believers were, they helped each other. They cared for one another. To do the work of the ministry. We come together to do the work of the ministry. And that's not just taking care of this local church. It's going out to preach the gospel. It's going out and loving on people, developing relationships, bringing them into the church, bringing them into the kingdom of God. That's what matters. That's why we're here. God is not just a bless me club. We're here to be a light to those that are around us, to reach out to our community, to be a light, to glorify God and to praise God. The local church is to be a support in these areas. And we also see the primary reason of the local church over in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We see the primary reason why the church was established. And it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The church is here so that you can be trained up and go out and do the work of the ministry. You have a job to do. We all have a job to do. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. We're all called to be a light. We're all called to pray. We're all called to do a job. And we have to be diligent doing it. My job is to train you up so that you know how to do it. My job is to encourage you, to help you so that you can go out. That you'd be edified, built up, and strengthened. And we're supposed to be increasing the body of Christ. Your presence in this life should have a positive impact on those around you. You might be the only Jesus that some people know. You might be the only influence for God in their life. It should be known about you that you pray. It should be known about you that you love God. It should be known about you that you read the Word. That people should know that about you. Not just so that you can have a reputation, but it's something that you should be doing continually. And they might catch you doing it. Remember, it's not just about talk. It's about the doing. The Bible says we're blessed in the doing of God's Word. You should be a doer. You should be praying about people in your life. Do you know anyone in your life that doesn't know Jesus? Can you think of people that are on their way to hell? Sometimes I think it's good for us to go back and read the scriptures concerning hell. It's a horrible subject. We don't like to think about it. But people go to hell every day. And it's not God's choice. It's their choice. God doesn't want people to go to hell. And he's called us to pray for them, that the eyes of their heart may be enlightened, that the blinders would come off, that they would hear the gospel truth, that we would pray for laborers to go across their path. Laborers like you. You might be praying for laborers for your loved one, and that laborer might be sitting right next to you. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to pray? Are you willing to be a light to those that need the Lord? I think it's our single most important job of the local church to equip believers so that you know the Word, so that you know how to deal with the enemy, so that you know how to get your needs met, that you know how to get your body well, so that you can go out and do, that you can go out and be a believer, that you can go out and lay hands on the sick and see them recover, that you can go out and preach the gospel, the good news of the gospel. That's what we're called to do. You are equipped to go out and do something. And you don't have to do it like I would do it. You do it like you do it. Remember, we're all part of the body, and we're all different. And you function in the way God made you. You don't have to copy someone else. You be you and allow God to use you. And if your style is just coming alongside someone and loving them, developing relationships, whatever it is that you do, do it. Allow God to use you. You're equipped of God. God has given you His Word. God has given you His Spirit. God has given you His love. God has given you His provision. God, you are equipped. You have what it takes. You have what it takes for God to work in you. You just need to open up your heart and say yes. Yes, Lord, show me what to do today. Show me what your plan is for today. Help me to help someone today. Lord, bring someone across my path that I can pray for, encourage, or help, or move a little closer to you. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. We need to get our eyes on the right things. So what is our part in the local church? Each one of us has a significant role to play. Little things matter. Your attendance in the church, your attitude towards the church, your words, your prayers, your giving, your enthusiasm or the lack thereof, it matters about the church. Because people will sense that in you. Oh, why don't you come to know Jesus? And they look at your life. I'm so depressed. I'm so tired. I'm so weak. Oh, yeah, God's good, though. Yeah. Yeah, I want some of that. No. People are looking at your life. Doesn't mean you have to be perfect. It just means that you have to keep your eyes on Jesus. And when you're going through the hard times, they're going to say, there's something different about you. All this hard stuff's going around you, but you just still have joy and peace because your eyes are on Jesus. You know, we can go through hard times and still keep our joy, still keep our peace. Because we know that when we pray, we have a God in heaven who hears us. And we're confident that He's going to come to our rescue. And we can lean on Him and thank Him for his peace in our life. People will see that in you. We want people to see the good in us. And we have to do our part. And our attitude matters. What we do matters. If you go to church once every 6 months, people will see that in your life and say, well, church must not be important to her or him. Your faithfulness, your attitude, your enthusiasm, it matters. It's contagious. I was reading this week about the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. He said to him, stir up the gift of God that's within you through the laying on of my hands. Some of us need to stir up God in us. Remind yourself that you are bought with a price. Remind yourself that God is good to you. Remind yourself that He supplies your needs. He brings health to your body. That He loves you and cares about you. That you have an eternal destination in Him. Remind yourself that you're born of the Spirit. Remind yourself that you've been delivered from sin. Remind yourself. Stir that up on the inside of you. Start to let your face get a little excited about God. Stir it up on the inside of you. Stir it up. Get yourself a little excited about God. I tell you, it'll do you good. Oh, go to church. Yeah, we've all had those Sundays. But you can't live that way. I get to go to church because I'm just going to worship God. I don't care if they play my favorite song or not. I'm setting my heart to worship Him. I need more of God today. I need His presence in my life. I need to experience Him today. So I'm stirring myself up. I'm coming expecting. I'm coming ready. I'm coming to seek God. I'm coming to press in. I'm coming to get full. We need to stir ourselves up sometimes. That's what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy. Timothy was feeling the weight of the ministry, and he was feeling the needs and all the things, and he was a little stressed out. Have you ever been that way? And Paul says, Timothy, I remind you to stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you through the than he that is in the world. God is greater than any circumstance you face. God is greater than any problem in your life. God is greater than any circumstance that's going on in your relationship. God is greater. And you just need to press into him. Press into him. Allow him to fill you from the inside out. It matters. It matters how you conduct your spiritual walk. Because you come to the church and you're a part of the group of believers. And if you're not keeping yourself spiritually, the rest of us have to bring you up. Do you know what I'm talking about? You do your part. We don't come to get, this shouldn't be the only place you feed yourself spiritually. You should be feeding yourself at home. You need to be worshiping God at home. Spending time in prayer at home. Thank God we can do it together. Thank God that this is a place where we can get energized and charged up. But if you're only getting it on Sunday morning, you're being a burden to the rest of us. Let me say that again. You didn't like that. If you're not feeding yourself and taking care of yourself at home and you're only getting it here, you're being a burden to the rest of us. And I don't mean that we don't care for you. I don't want it to sound like that. But you have to do your part. It matters how you maintain your own walk with Jesus. What if we were all charged up and stirred up and on fire when we come together? Do you think God would have a greater atmosphere to move in? Yes, he would. Yes, he would. So why don't we? We need to get to that place where we're full of God when we get here. We get full of God when we leave here, but how about when we get here? Where we don't even have to wait for the guitarist to start or the music to start, that we could just start lifting our hands, worshiping God together. That's what it's about. Encouraging yourself in the Word. Sure, life can be hard, but you have His Word to help you through it. You have His Word to build you up and to bring the answer in your life. Are you speaking His Word over your life? Are you speaking to the mountains in your life? Don't let them discourage you. Don't let them defeat you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that He always leads us into triumph in Christ Jesus. Victory is yours. Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap a harvest if you faint not. If you're believing God for something, don't quit. Don't quit. Hold on. Be steadfast, as we talked about in the beginning. Be steadfast, unmovable. Holding fast to what you believe. Come, when you come to church, come ready. Come ready to worship. Come ready to pray. Come ready to hear the Word. Come ready to listen to God. I'm just a man. I don't have anything, angelic to impart to you. But I know that as I obey God, God can speak to you through me. You might get something that I don't even say. The Spirit of God will talk to you about something, and if you get a hold of it, it'll set you free. Come ready to be taught. Be open. Be teachable. Be pliable. If there's some areas in your life where you're being stubborn, be open to change. You know, the Bible says the Word of God corrects us. Aren't you thankful that it does? Because if it doesn't correct us, we're going to go down the wrong paths. Come ready. Draw on the ministry gift that God has put in the church. Be teachable. Are you hungry for God? That's something that you should, that's not just a Sunday morning thing. Are you hungry for more of God? That's a question you need to ask yourself, and only you can answer. Do you want to know God more? Are you interested? If you've been in God's presence, if you've ever been in God's presence where it's so rich and so thick that you just never want to leave it, do you want more of that? I know I do. I long for His presence every day. I love when God speaks to me. I love when God reminds me of a scripture that I needed for that moment. I love when God touches my heart. You know, the Bible describes the Holy Spirit as the comforter, the strengthener, the standby, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor. You know, that's who God is to us. Is your life in need of comfort? Well, for some of us, maybe we've been through some hard stuff and we need the comfort of the Spirit. Well, you can receive that. I receive the comfort that the Holy Spirit brings today, that no longer will I be distraught. No longer will I be ruined. I receive the comfort of the Spirit today. It fills up the places in my life where there's deficits. He brings me back and makes me new. You can have that every day. You can have that every day. But are you hungry for more of Him? If you're not hungry, God's not going to show up in your life. If you're not interested, God's not going to force Himself on you. What does the Bible say? Those that seek Him, find Him. Those that seek Him, find Him. Those that knock, the door is open. Those that ask shall receive. Are you hungry for more? You can make yourself hungry if you're not. You just begin to start to pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. What you pay attention to, your desires follow. God can change you. Be a part of the church. Be a part of what God is doing in the local community. Support the church. You know, just a note on giving. You know, sometimes people have questions about the offerings and the tithes and all the things that we do around here. You know, the Bible teaches in Malachi that the tithe belongs to the Lord. We believe in tithing. I tithe and we teach it. It's a tithe is a tenth. And we give back to God what He has given to us. The Bible also talks about offerings. In Luke, it talks about bringing what the gift that you've decided in your own heart. That's called an offering. All these things, they go to support the local church. It pays the light bills. It pays the mortgage. It pays the supplies that we use. People think that, well, what do we do with all the offering? Well, it goes to run the facility. Insurance and payroll and phone bills and light bills and just like your household. But what happens is when people don't come to church or don't give, you know, the RG&E still wants to be paid. I think people don't understand that sometimes. Or it doesn't matter if I go to church. It doesn't matter if I give. I'm not important. Well, didn't we just read there in Corinthians where Paul said every part is significant? And no one's asking you to do the whole part. Just do your part. Just do your part, and I'll do my part, and they'll do their part, and they'll do their part. And as we all do our part, God does a great thing in us. But it's important. Don't overlook that your part is insignificant. Well, I only have $10 to offer. How is that significant? Again, it's you doing your part. I'm doing my part. Everybody does their part. But it has to be on a consistent, regular basis. What if I just checked in with God every 3 months? How are you doing today, God? I love you. I'm coming to heaven. You're not going to have a substantial spiritual life. The local church, we have to be faithful. We have to be committed. You know, supporting the ministry and the local church by being involved. You know, church statistics tell us that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Why is that? Again, people think, well, what can I do? I'm insignificant. I'm not important. It doesn't matter if I show up or not. It doesn't matter if I help or not. They've got people to help. They don't need me. Yes, that's a lie of the enemy. Every person's important. Every person's necessary. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that you do whatever it is that you do. And it's important for you to be involved and be a part of a local church. Praying for the church. You know, I believe that prayer is the lifeline for the church. Just as you pray in your own life, and it's the lifeline that you have to God, prayer for the church is the lifeline. You should be praying for the church. Praying that God shows up when we all come together. Praying for the anointing. Praying for those that are ministering. And that's not just me. There's a children's church over there. There's a youth service. There's a worship team. Praying for those that are ministering to others, that God would speak to them and through them. I'll just say this one more thing, you know. The Bible talks about love. You all know I come from a big family. My wife's not here to razz me. Youngest of 10. We have a massive family. And growing up in family, you know, sometimes you don't always get along with everybody. Sometimes there's arguments, sometimes there's fights, sometimes there's, you know, throwing food. I'm just saying, there's a family living. But you know what? At the end of the day, we're still family. And you put those things aside, and you get over it, and you move on. The church is like that too. If you start serving or getting around other people, get along with everybody all the time, 100%. But you need to have the same attitude. At the end of the day, we are family. I choose to forgive. I choose to move on. Let's get over it. Let's go forward. Let's talk it out. Let's hash it out. Let's hug on each other and move forward. We need to have that same attitude. You have no business taking offense. There's no room for holding grudges for 10 years. You know, I hear families that I haven't talked to my sister, I haven't talked to my brother, I haven't talked to my parents in 7 years. Life is too short. Get over it. Get over it. We're called to love each other. 1 John 4, beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. We have to love each other. And that love has to be genuine. What if someone invites you over for dinner and the husband and wife just had a knockdown, drag-out fight? And you come there for dinner. Do you know it? If you're perceptive at all, you can pick it up in the room, right? You can usually cut it with a knife, like, let's hurry and eat and go home, right? Well, the same is true in the church. If you don't love someone on the other side of the aisle, and you're sending, you know, daggers across the room, people get that. People are not dumb. They can get that atmosphere in the room. So let's not just talk about loving each other. Let's love each other. And if there's someone you don't get along with, start to pray for them. Ask God to change your heart. You know, I realize that every person is not going to, you know, get along with every person all the time, 100%. Sometimes people can rub us the wrong way. But there's an opportunity to truly walk in love. Anybody can love people that love them. You have an opportunity to walk in love when someone doesn't love you. So let's love each other. We're here to evangelize and make disciples of others. So if we're going to do that, we've got to get our act together. We've got to come to church ready. Because we create the atmosphere of the church. We do. Your spiritual life, my spiritual life, when we come together, it creates the atmosphere of the church. So if something's a little off, you don't have to look any further than the person sitting in your chair. How is your walk with God? We have to do our part. This is your church. Your church. My church. Aren't you thankful that we have a place? You know, this Memorial Day weekend, you know, people have fought and died so that we could have a church. There's parts of the world where it's against the law. It's against the law. You have a Bible. You can have several in your home. We have these freedoms because people paid the price. Shouldn't we at least be thankful and grateful and do our best to have the best church that we could possibly have? I think we should. Let's stand up. I want to end with a word of prayer today. You know, I just want to encourage you. If you know of someone that serves in the military, just take a moment this weekend and extend your hand and thank them for all that they do. Let's pray. Father, we come together today to pray for our church. Father, we thank you that you brought us together, that this is our local church. Father, we pray that you would begin to change us and use us. Lord, we want to be a light to the world. We want to create an atmosphere where unbelievers can come in and feel welcome, where they can come in and be open to hear what you have to say. Father, if we've been a negative part of the church, if we brought others down or we're not doing our part spiritually, Father, we ask that you'd forgive us. Lord, and help us to make that adjustment. Lord, that when we come, we'd be full of you. Come ready to worship. Come expecting you to move. Come ready to pray for others. Come ready to build others up. Father, we're asking that you'd use us and that you'd add to our numbers and that you would increase us and that you'd add to our influence in the lives of others. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. We thank you for your mercies and your grace. And Lord, help us to win the lost. Help us to be after the harvest. Lord, help us to reach out to those that don't know you. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.